to Revelation chapter 20 and from verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I'm fairly certain that if I were to ask you what one thing will happen to us all, I think you would say that we're all going to die. But that is actually not the answer. There will be those who are alive when the Lord returns who won't die. But after death, the judgment, the one thing that will happen to us all, even if we were alive when the Lord returns and don't die, the one thing that happens to us all will be the judgment day. More important than death, except, of course, that after death it's too late to change what we may plead before the judgment day. As it is appointed to men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. We believe in Christ. The Bible points us to Christ, that he was appointed that though we shall die, there will be a judgment, and only those who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. It's written in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 16, God shall bring every work into judgment, whether it is good or whether it is bad. All of us must give account of ourselves to God. So whether we are believers or whether we are those who are not yet saved, we shall all of us give account to God. And this then is the theme. And I saw a great white throne. The throne is usually considered to be the seat of a ruler. It may be the seat of a bishop, for that's what the word cathedral means, cathedra, seat. But it is an official place where someone in power sits when they're exercising their regal or their bishop or their judgmental authority. And this great white throne in the vision caught the eye of John. And immediately he saw the great white throne. He saw also him that sat upon it. It was great because it was the sole object of vision. There was nothing else to see but this white throne and him that sat upon it. Nothing to distract, nothing to take people's eye off it, no way of escape. It could only be seen, it could be seen alone. It was the sole object of view. Heaven and earth had fled away from it, where the sense of the fleeing away is that it was too much to bear. This white throne, more important than earth and the things of earth and the people of earth. It was a great throne. We shall see that great throne. We shall see what John sees, but we may now see it as we read of it in the book of Revelation. I saw a great white throne. White? Well, thrones may be made of ivory, but that, of course, is not the significance. It's white because it represents the holiness of God, of the one who sits upon it, and the holy demands which will be part of judgment. It's white because it speaks of purity and will represent the pure designs of the one who is now going to inspect and give judgment on our lives. It is great and it is white. And there will be a judge. There is a judge to give, what's the word I want? To give punishment, to give decision on the work of our lives. I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it. Who will that be? It will in fact be the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 5 and verse 22 and verse 27 tell us as much. They're not the only passages in Scripture. The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Verse 27, he has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And in Acts 17, Paul preaching in Athens, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 31, says this: God now commandeth all men to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The Lord is ready to judge the quick, that's those who've been born again, and the spiritually dead. But there is no mistaking that it is the Lord Jesus who is spoken of. Paul writes in Romans 2 and verse 16, in that day shall he judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. So it is the Lord Jesus Christ who sits upon the throne of judgment. It is the throne of his glory. And it is so terrifying that the heaven and earth flee away to make it the sole object of view. And every person who has ever lived in any time or in any place will stand before it with only the throne and the Lord Jesus upon that throne to view. Now, there are lots of things that are not told us. Though there is the parable of the Lord separating the sheep from the goats, which is something that may well happen after that judgment is done. They've all had judgment given, and now it's time to separate them. But what he said there is that all nations are gathered, and you would think perhaps everybody would see the judgment of everybody else. But that actually is not said. I don't know which is worse. For the whole world to be gathered and see our sins laid bare and judgment placed upon them. Or whether to be alone in the presence of God. To face entirely on our own the consequences of our sin, even if no one else is there at the time. Well, the Bible doesn't say whether we should be judged all at the same time, all together, or one by one. Certainly it will be an individual judgment. So it is a terrifying thing. It is so terrifying that, as we read, it is for that reason that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent to this world. As it is appointed to man once to die, and after this the judgment, because of that, precisely because of that, so Jesus was sent to bear the sins of many, of all those who would believe in him. Because nothing that's sinful, nothing that's impure, can stand at the judgment day and judgment be given in favour of them when God hates unholiness and when God hates sin and impurity. It is something to be feared. But the Lord Jesus takes away that fear. Because he was both God, who was authorized to forgive sins as God, and man, who fully and perfectly fulfilled, not only for himself because he had no sin, but the sins of all his people, he bore justice in his own body on the cross, that the mercy of God in the pardoning of sins of sinful men and women might be revealed. And that all who believe in him might repent and see what it cost the Saviour to redeem each one of his people. But the Lord, by the shedding of his own blood, made atonement for each one of us, for every one of our sins. Ones we know about, ones we don't. If the division can be made, ones that are large and ones that are small. Ones that we remember, ones that we've forgotten. But they all need atoning for. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ atones for all sin. So that for a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to face him on the throne will not be as frightening or frightening at all. John went on to say that as he was looking, he saw the dead standing at the judgment seat. They've been raised again. I saw the dead, small and great. We all die, whether we're kings, queens, generals, family leaders, the poorest slaves. But we all die. And we shall all stand before the judgment seat. So there is no difference in authority. Lazarus and Dewey's thought that his authority still held good over Lazarus, that Lazarus could be sent to dip his tongue in water. But that authority, that division no longer stands. Small and great. If we're small, we can't say, well, I don't mean anything to God, I'm too insignificant. We have got to give account. If we're great, we can't say, I had responsible things to do and I may have made the odd error. We all have to give account of what we have done to the Lord. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Every day, God has a diary. It's not literal, it's spiritual. He remembers it all. But that we may understand it, it's put as a book. God enters into his book not only every action and every word, but also what lies behind them, what caused them, what spirit our words and actions were done in, pride, anger, whatever. But the books were opened. So if you've lived 70 years, there were 70 times 365 plus a few odd days for the 366. That's a lot of information in God's book to be remembered. Things past, and of course, everything then were things past. The books were opened. But there was another book, and it is called the Book of Life. The Book of Life. In Revelation chapter 21, the last words of that chapter, verse 27, are the Lamb's Book of Life. The Book of Life belongs to the Lord Jesus. Nothing shall enter into the new city of God that worketh abomination, that maketh a lie, that's an idol, only they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus says to the 70 on their return, he'd sent them out to heal the sick, raise the dead even. And they came back and said how even the evil spirits had gone out when they executed the words of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus said to them, don't rejoice that even the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the Book of Life. Now the Book of Life is the book given to the Lord Jesus in eternity. The book with the names of all the elect upon it. The book of the names of all those who were given to the Lord Jesus to redeem. The book of the names of his sheep. I know my sheep and am known by mine. The book of the Lamb, the Lamb's Book of Life, is for the forgiveness of sins. These who have written in their book have heard the gospel. These who have written in their book have been moved by the Spirit to believe the gospel. Many are called, but few chosen. Their names are in the Book of Life. Now, I don't quite know from this, it doesn't really matter, whether it is that the books are opened and all our sins made bare, and then the other book is open to see if our name is there, and if it is, then the Lord Jesus accepts that our sins are forgiven. Well, seeing we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he knows who is written in his book, it seems more likely that they never fell under the judgment of the books. It was written in the books so that it might be recorded, lest any guilty sinner might say, hey, they did that too. But it was crossed out because it was covered by the blood of the Lamb. Every sin should be immediately covered by the atoning blood of the land. No wonder the Lord Jesus said, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. What happens if we were to die and it hadn't been put right? Anything. But let the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ atone for our sins at all moments. So here was this terrible scene that we shall all face, but not terrible for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, though they may at that time regret deeply the things they have done. And then we're told without any doubt that everybody will be there. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Those drowned at sea, those made to walk the plank, whatever the cause was, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. The bodies of the dead were raised to face the judgment day. And the sea, if people were to think, well, I wasn't buried, or my friend died at sea, he'll be all right. That's not so. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death gave up the dead that were in it. And hell, that's the grave in this particular answer, delivered up the dead which were in them. You remember that that Dives lifted up his eyes, and in hell, having been dead and buried, he lifted up his eyes. So death, whether it's the grave, but the death of all those whose sins are not forgiven, are given up. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. The dead Christians were already raised from the dead. But at what position they give account to the Lord? I rather tend to think, from reading the story of the sheep and the goats, that it was no business of those who were deeply sinners what accounts we should give. Our sins are all forgiven. But privately, when the Lord deals with his people, there will be rewards according to what we have done. But that's no business of the judgment seat and of those who are not saved. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And of course their works, being unforgiven, were evil. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life, judged according to their works, were cast into the lake of fire. There is perhaps no better incentive to become a believer than to consider this passage. We are all sinful. The number of sins we've committed by the time we're 5 is enormous, let alone by the time we're 50. To believe in the Lord Jesus is to be brought to repentance, to be brought to sorrow towards God. We are such people as we are, that we've done such things as we've done, and that in order that we might be redeemed, it costs the Lord Jesus so much. It is an incentive to believe, that we might be saved, that we might seem worthy as the Lamb forever and ever, that we might together be without tears and pain and crying, that we may know that those things have passed away. But there is a day, after the Lord's return, when heaven and earth will flee away, and the great white throne, and the Saviour upon it, shall be the only object of view. And the object of that view will be looking at us, at all people, to see how the judgment will be upon their lives. Amen.